few minutes. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. The book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Daughters, just say you need to turn to the book of Hezekiah, chapter 30. So, oh me. Well, I just thank you for you taking your time out to come. And, you know, sometimes, I know that we feel like we may aim, but two or three of us coming. What's the use coming out, but the Lord's still here. The Lord's, what does he say? He says, well, two or three? Well, I believe if it's just one, he's there. Because, and I'll still say this, and I'll say it until the day I die, and we are not one individual. I'm for individuals. And you are too. So, we've got six people here tonight. 4 times 6 is 24. So it's not the, it's not about the number in a hand. It's about the quality of the people that we do have. But here in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 38, and it's talking about Hezekiah. And that's what we're going to be on tonight. But thus the Lord did say, and not only did he say it to Hezekiah, but he's also saying it to us also today, I believe. I don't believe it's anything that we can take and we can look at in the Word of God that we cannot take it and really apply it to our daily lives, because this is the only book that I've ever picked up and I've ever read, and it's living. And it's not the living Bible like they got out here with the other type of version of scripture and everything, but this right here is the living Word of God to the English-speaking people, which is the King James Version. And I'll still say it until the day that I die. This is what they used and brought to my house. And they opened the Word of God over in the book of Romans chapter 10. And they led me to the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. So if it was good enough for the Lord to save me by, it's sure good enough to keep me the rest of my life. So I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change Bibles. And if people starts coming and they say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about and everything. Well, if you need to get saved. If you get saved, then they have a Holy Spirit to have a teacher. That's just like I passed in one church and I had people just come on Sunday, and they come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But on Sunday morning, they never would come and try Sunday school, but they'd always be there for preaching. And they invited us down to the house one evening, and they said to me, we just want more teaching, and we don't think we're getting the teaching that we need. I said, well, you haven't tried Sunday school. That's what Sunday school is all about. That is really called school, and it's on Sunday. And it's school just like when you go out in the morning and when you send your children, where are you going to send them? You're going to send them down to the bank? Are you going to send them to the store? No, you're going to send them to school for the learning. And I says, you need to just come. I says, I know, maybe you may not even like coming to Sunday school. And you may not, may think that you won't learn anything. But don't come in and tell a preacher how he's supposed to preach. I mean, I just told them like it was and everything. And I won't be rude to them or nothing. I just told them, I said, the preaching is to the people to get them motivated to go out into the world and do God's work. It's not for them to come into God's house and where the preacher can get up there and just read verses and everything and just make a little points about this verse and that verse and everything and just tickling their ears. Because if I do that, I'm not helping you. I'm sure not helping myself. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but every time I get up and preach, or even any time I get up and, if it's a Wednesday night, and if I happen to teach on a Wednesday night or whatever, I make sure what comes from these lips comes from God's lips. I want to speak as God speaks to my heart. And I said, what the problem is today is that people today are too sin sick. They're so caught up in this world that they just want something instant today. And I says, no doubt you can probably go home and you can probably open up some can of pinto beans and a can of butter beans and eat a pack of corn and everything, and you got a microwave over there, and you're going to stick all the food in that microwave right there to warm it up to where you can eat it because you're in a hurry to eat it. I says, this is one thing we're just as guilty as anybody else, but what has happened to the family on Sunday? The family got together and they, a whole lot of times, they went to grandma's house or something like that, and you wouldn't have just you and grandma there and grandpa and everything. You'd have your whole family there. You'd have a bunch of people there. And some people you haven't seen all week. Some you hadn't seen in a month or two. But we gather. And we're not in no great big hurry to go home. What's happened? We're living in a fast-paced world. But who's made it fast-paced? We have. We've made it fast. Do we have to run here and run now? We ain't got time to go see mama or daddy or grandpa or somebody like that. Well, people need to go see grandma. And they need to go see the granddaddy. And they need to see the mother and the father. They need to see the aunts and the uncles. See, God saved us. God is number one. The book tells us that we're number one. I'm number one. I'm above anybody else. I look to God. I'm number one to God. And God's supposed to be number one to me. I'm not supposed to take my family. I'm not supposed to take my family, and which, and I love my family. I love my mother. I love my brothers, and I love my wife and my daughter, and the cousins that we have. I love them all. I love all people. But the thing about it is, I should not allow them to come before me serving the Lord. But family is supposed to come before the local church. When was the local church come about? In the New Testament. In the book of Acts. It had, in the Old Testament at all, it never mentions anything about a church. It says synagogue. A place where they go around and hear somebody teach. But see, Hezekiah, he was going through the same situation here. And he got to the point that he had got so sick to the people that some people would come up to Hezekiah and say, I love God. Now really, if you really want to think about it, when we just run across somebody like that, and they know that we're in church, they know how we are, they know who we serve and everything, but yet they'll make sure, they'll come about and say, well, hey, ain't God good? I love him to death. And I know the whole time that they don't. They're just waiting to get away from me. So they can use the curse words. They can use the four-letter words. They can go out here and do this and do that and never show up to church. Never mention God anymore that week unless they run into somebody else. See, that people like that, they scare me. They scare me. And I'm not supposed to be that scared of anybody. But they do. They terrify me. They scare me to the point that I just don't want to be around them. And it's not that I don't love them. Yeah, I love them. I now want to see them get their life right. But they scare me. Because they say one thing, but yet does something else. It says right here in verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. This was Hezekiah. This was Isaiah. This was the Lord. Back then, every one of them spoke it. Set your house in order. What does that mean, set your house in order? Nothing at your home should come before God. We have people out here, they will go out here and they will worship that automobile. I can remember the time that I done the same thing. It was when I was lost. On Saturday, I'd get out there and I'd wash that 63 Ford I had. It was black. I'd shine it up and then I'd wax it. And then I'd leave the wax on and everything and drive all the way to the Blue Park. And then when I got into Blue Park, I'd go all the way down to the bottom. And then I'd buff it out, all the wax off of it. And I didn't realize it. But that was my God. People today don't realize it in whom they are serving. They're serving the devil. Because the devil has plenty of gods out here. But see, I got one God. You got one God. And we're just supposed to satisfy that one God that we have. We're not supposed to go out here and satisfy him and then go out there and satisfy somebody else. If we satisfy him, then all else is mute. Because he has to be number one. And it says right here, he says, after he set his house in order, For thou shalt die and not live. That's what he's telling us today, that we must set our house in order. Because there's going to come a day that we're not going to walk on this earth anymore. There's going to come a time when somebody's going to say, well, Donnie, you know, the way he understood, the way he talked and everything, and I've heard him preach before, like he's going to live forever. They don't know it, but I am. And they don't realize it either. The ones that's lost, they're going to live forever too. But they're not going to be in heaven. They're going to be right there with the devil and his angels. They're going to be in hell. And they're going to have every anguish upon them. They're going to have all the maggots that can come about and crawl over them. And they can't even eat the flesh. Now we know, woman, we can go ahead and we can ride down the road anywhere, and you may see a roadkill. Well, if it gets hit now, until it gets to the point where it completely dies, then the flies is going to come. And the maggots. See, that's what a fly is. That's what a fly is a maggot. And I don't like them. Because they irritate me to death. Just flying around me and everything. Here I am swatting them and everything. But see, I got a better place I'm going. I ain't going to have to worry about no maggots. I ain't going to have to worry about no gnawing at my gums and gnawing at my teeth and worried about this and worried about that. And I ain't going to have to worry about, well, the last song I heard, oh, why in the world, why didn't I go up? Something was just tugging at my heart, and I said, then something spoke to me and said, well, you wait until next week. You can wait till next Sunday to come. You can come up next Sunday. But see, the thing about it is, think about this. Next Sunday never comes up. Just like tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes up. And if they were just, if they would just admit to themselves that it's nothing else that they can do. And yes, they tried. I think everybody has tried to live the life before they got saved. But I think then they had to come to the realization and they found out that they couldn't do it. They couldn't live good enough. I mean, none of us here could start tonight. And if the Lord has come down and promised us 20 more years on our life, we would not be able to live good enough the next 20 years. To merit heaven. We would not even matter of fact, I don't deserve him. I don't deserve heaven now. And if anybody will ever be truthful to themselves, they will say the same thing. But the only reason I'm going to heaven is not because of my righteousness. It's because of all the righteousness that the Lord had. And who gave him that righteousness? The Father in heaven. He gave his Son the righteousness to where he could be able to hang. hang and bleed and died for me and you. But see, in verse 2 then he says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. Think about that. How many times we've turned our own face towards the wall or towards something else and to take our thoughts and take our minds off of what really God wants us to do. Yeah, God can take control of us and he said, why don't you go over and talk to that individual? Just go and speak to him. And if we go and speak, the Lord's going to let him speak. And when he speaks, he's going to speak the language that I want to hear. But it's the language of what? They said, I understand you're the preacher down to such and such church. Yeah. I understand it.
Really?
Y'all just hanging on by a thread, but y'all still hanging in now. I said, yeah. See, the Lord can do that. The Lord can use us if we are willing to be used by him. And I'm not just saying to be used the way he can just come up and use us anytime he wants to. Use us for him and for his work. Because what was Jesus doing when he was here on earth before he went to the cross? He was doing the Father's will, wasn't he? He was going about telling people. He was teaching the religious crowd what God was saying to him and what the Word of God was saying to him and everything. He was teaching them. Sometimes they just didn't listen. Like us. Sometimes we just don't listen. Sometimes I just don't listen. I can place my own self sometimes in Peter's shoes. But you know something? Everybody talks about the disciples and how the disciples loved Jesus and how they followed him. They did. I can't tell you about what all of them in the life that they represented and even serving the Lord. But you had doubting Thomas. He doubted everything that Jesus said. The other disciples also, they done the same thing. Peter done the same thing. Peter cursed God. Peter cursed the Lord Jesus. But see, the Lord knew that Peter was out there among the people. He knows who we're out here with. And we must go out here and go in some of the places that's not real desirable for us to go into. And to tell them. If we don't, if the Christian won't go into some of the places that we know that we should not even be seen going in there. But if we're not willing to trust Jesus and go into places and tell somebody in there about Jesus, then we won't do it. Then if something happens to them the next week or the next month and they're in an automobile accident and they get killed,
The Lord spoke to me about going in that place of business, of what it's at. And if I don't go, I said, Lord, I can't go in that place. It's not right. It's not right. But he says, I went to places where you was at sometimes with somebody else. And if I still don't do it, and if they die, and I never did do my part, and they go to hell, I'm going to stand before Jesus. When I bow my head, when I lay the crown, my crowns, at his feet, I believe he's going to say to me, lift up your hand. I believe he's going to say that to some people. Lift up your hands. And then, when I do, drip, 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 the blood of the individual that I wouldn't go to is what that represents. I mean, you know, I know what hell's going to be like. But I know I'm not going. But you know, just like a preacher one time said, he said, you know something? He says, I've been preaching now for about almost 30 years. And I've been saved for about 40, just a little over 40 years now. And he says, you know, with the life that I've lived, and the friends that I've made on the way, and all the different types of people that I've met, if coming all the way down to the end, if it was not anything at all to this Christianity, being saved and going to heaven, if it wasn't anything at all, none of that was true, I would still rather live the life that I lived than live it any other way. He said, because, I mean, I got more friends now than I thought I'd ever have. I mean, we don't know. I've never been to heaven, but I'm trusting what this book says. Trusting this book by faith. Not in the works that I do because of this book, but because of the faith that I have in this book. That's the reason I'm going. That's the reason you're going. That's the only reason, that's the only way we could ever get into heaven, is through the Word of God, by faith, not of works, lest any man boast. We cannot, there's nothing else we can do. We cannot, I cannot hurry it up. I'm against suicide, but I know people do. They do commit suicide. And don't get me wrong. When I said it's not right and I don't like it, and I believe God's word's against it, but see, the thing about it is, they weren't in the right mind. They weren't in the right mind when they done that. See, God knows all these things. See, God knows more than what we ever know. I mean, we can probably have somebody just to write it out. Everything's going to happen here in the church for the next 20 years, and that's the way it's going to go. Everything's going to go just like this. Every word that's going to be done is going to be free. Nothing else. No more, no less. We can do all of that. But when it comes right down to meeting God, it's going to depend on what we've done for Him. It's going to be what we have trusted Him with. Have we trusted Him with our life? Have we?
Verse 9, it says, "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of thy grave. I am deprived of thy residue of thy years." Verse 14, it says, "Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul." See, God brought him out of his sickness. See, God brought him out of his sin. And God can bring us out from our sin too, and out of our sickness. You know, we're people that are so sick. Sometimes we don't even know what to even ask for. Which really, maybe some of you won't agree with me on this, but for my own self, I believe myself, for me, is that if I'm not doing anything the Lord asked me to do, then there's sin sickness in my life. I'm sick. I'm sick of the sin that I commit. Paul said over in the book of Romans, "For all have sinned." He didn't just leave. He didn't just say, "Well, Donnie, you sinned. Brother Bill sinned. James Albert sinned. Billy Graham, he didn't sin. But he did." There's not an individual that has ever walked on this earth that has ever been saved that did not sin. And if we say that we have no sin, what does the scripture say? I think it says in the book of Timothy or Titus, one or the other. He says, if you say there's no sin, you call me a liar, and the truth is not in you. And I'm not about to call God a liar. Because I fear Him so much, and I'm scared he's liable just, as we're going home, I'll just slump over and everything, and my wife will say, "Oh, he done went to sleep and everything." Then she'll punch me and everything, and I don't wake up.
Then she'll take me on to the hospital, emergency room. They pronounce me dead. That's how much I fear him, because he can do that.
But see, Hezekiah, he did get sick. He got so sick that I believe that he was sick to the stomach. And I believe that over in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and I think it's down about, the last few verses down in chapter 3, it's talking about that. It's talking about the sickness. It's talking about the sin sickness. And what is it? What is it? The sickness that the Lord is talking about, and even John is speaking about back in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I believe what he's saying with, well, you're either cold or hot,
but you're neither. You're lukewarm.
He said, John said, well, you know, you followed the Lord after you got saved. You done exactly what the Lord asked you to do. You went where he wanted you to go.
And look at the people you touched. Look at the lives that you really touched. But now you've got a kind of like a cold heart. You don't love the people like you used to love the people. You don't have the warm heart, the heart that is hot enough on fire, to where you are on fire for God. And when we get on fire for God, I'm not talking about it getting on a wildfire for God, because a wildfire just spreads. And you can put a wildfire out. But we just need to be on fire for him and him only. No one else. I don't need to be on fire for this church. I don't need to be on fire for you. I don't need to be on fire for my wife. I need to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. That's the ones I need to be on fire with. I cannot even look down to myself and say, well, Donnie, you just keep on preaching. Brother, I know some preachers do that and everything. They'll get up here preaching and everything, and if nobody don't, and you know, if ain't nobody out there shouting or saying amen or something like that, then they'll turn it back to the people and they'll look at the Baptist and say, amen. Why did they do that? The Baptist didn't come speak to them, did he? Did it? The Baptist didn't say to them, amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we do ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with each one of us. Father, tonight, Lord Jesus, we just pray for each and every soul that is here. And Father, we lift up each and every one of our family members, Lord. Father, we know that some's in church, some is not. And Lord, and we're not asking, Father, to you just to bring chastisement upon them, Father. I'm praying, Father, that you would just release the Holy Spirit upon them once again. And Father, let the people know that if they one time was faithful to thy house, and if they got saved, and Father, they truly loved you one time, oh Father, Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will instill within them the love that only the Trinity can give. Father, I know, Lord Jesus, that, you know, sometimes we pray, and I pray sometimes, I pray selfishly, and I don't mean to. But Lord, I am coming to you tonight in a special request. And that special request is, Lord Jesus, I pray now, the Father, that you would just look upon the individual's hearts. Father, so many people today have just got out of church, got away from you. And Lord, just help them to realize that if they just come back to church, and if they just come on and just fall in and just ask for forgiveness, Father, you will forgive them. And Father, that they can come back and they can be a part of the family here. And Father, that we can love one another like we've never loved people before. Father, I don't know anything else to do. But I have to come to you, and I'm asking you tonight. Lord Jesus, would you allow this fellowship of people to grow? And I'm not speaking of just growing, that the people may grow in size within their bodies. Father, I mean that the church as a body of Christ can grow. That it can grow with numbers, and Father, that we can have more people here. And Father, if we get more people in, Father, we can do more things. We can do some things for the children, Lord. We can support more missionaries. And Father, we can do this and we can do that. And we know what we want to do, Father. And I've talked to Brother Bill, and Brill has to me. Father, we know, Lord God, what we want to do, Father. But we know, Lord Jesus, and what we want to do. You want to do it also. I have no doubt in that. But I know that we cannot do it, Father, because I don't want to go out and talk down to the people and beg them to come to church. Because when you do that, Father, I think you're letting the people realize that you're just talking down to them. And you're belittling them. Father, I love them. I love the people that I do not even know anything about. But Father, would you please, please do something here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, where instead of where people just talking about the church and where it's just a little few members, that people can, they can talk about. So, have y'all heard the latest? That Faith Baptist Church, they've had people saved down there. They have people coming, and the house of God is almost full. Yes, Lord, I'd love to see that. I know that you would love to see it. And Lord, you can do it. I know you can do it. Because I know what your word says. And your word says if we come and ask, and if we come and seek, and if we come and knock, you'll answer the prayer request. And Lord, and I know, Father, that you will not just answer it in a way that where you're the people's fruit, the fruit of the people that's here, will have plenty of fruit. And Father, that the life will grow. Father, we have all the rooms downstairs in the basement, Father. We're not using them. They need to be used, Father. If they're not being used, it's going to eventually just crumble. So, Father, we're asking tonight, and I'm begging of you tonight, please come and fill this church. Fill this church to its brim. And then, Lord, after it's full, if we have to do something else, if we have to add on to it, Lord, I know that you're going to provide the means for it. Because I trust you. Father, I know that I cannot do it. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make sure I have the leadership, Father, from you to do whatever we do here. And Father, that you can bless the people. Bless them, Father, as they labor for you. Give them souls, Father, for the labor. And Lord, let them see that our labor has not been done in vain. We thank you. And we love you. And I do thank you ahead of time in what you're going to do. I know that you're going to do it. Because I don't believe it was just me that come and agreed. I believe all the people here, I believe we are in one accord with this, Father. Lord, it's nothing that you cannot do. I know that. I know that, Father. And I love you tonight. Help us, Father, that we may be able to go out here and tell somebody else about Jesus. And Lord, as we tell them, that they can ask us, how can I get to know this man, Jesus, that you're talking about? And fathers, they ask, Lord, we know that you'll put it in our mouths and you'll touch these lips. And we will just be surprised at what comes from them, Father. To where we can lead the individual to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our journey will be toward heaven. I thank you that you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people that's here. Bless them that only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.